We wrap up our series of candidate forums before next week's primary election this hour with a look at the race for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd District. The seat is currently held by Democratic U.S. Representative Ron Kind of La Crosse. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, August 8th. There are 3 Republicans competing on the August 12th primary ballot for the opportunity to take on Congressman Kind in November. We will hear from all 3 and welcome your questions for each of them at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our first candidate is Ken Van Doren, a retired contractor and a former Mauston City Council member. He is a candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Joy?
I'm well, thank you. So why are you running for Congress?
Well, take a look at the country. It's falling apart. I took a look at things. I was forced by reality, life's experiences, and a little bit of reading to reform my political philosophy here about half my life ago. And back then, I realized that if we kept on the track we were on, we would destroy the economy, and we could be in danger of becoming a police state. And I look at circumstances today, and I ask, are we there yet?
So what's wrong with the job Congressman Ron Kind is doing?
Well, he pretends to be this moderate, but take a look. $12.5 trillion in debt was added during his reign, and if he had his way, it would have been more, because he's a big spender by anybody's standard. He voted along with too many Republicans to give us things like the Patriot Act, which virtually destroyed the Fourth Amendment, the Military Commissions Act, which delegates to the president the unconstitutional authority to say that anyone is an enemy combatant and deprive them of their civil rights, their power, the right to hire an attorney, to confront their accusers, to present evidence on their behalf. And he voted for, these are the trappings of tyranny here, all of these different pieces of legislation. Today we have NSA spying, which Mr. Kind refuses to do anything about. And we have a president who thinks that we can use the office of president and the bureaucracy as a political weapon. This is frightening stuff, and it should be frightening even for Democrats.
Well, what do you think is the biggest problem facing the nation, particularly for people in the 3rd District?
Well, I see virtually everything is coming down to the fact that we're losing our freedom. With freedom comes opportunity. We have a government that takes too much in taxes that leaves us with less to save, spend, and invest and create the jobs and create the wealth in the private sector, which is the only place that it can be. The other big thing, Mr. Kind also voted in favor of all of these wars, and again, a lot of Republicans, most Republicans did as well. But we have a series of never-ending, no-win wars. And let's just take Afghanistan as an example. We lost a 2-star general over there. But I ask, how big is the Navy? How big is the Air Force of Afghanistan? And do they have ICBMs? There's really no military threat to us at all. And yet we're still over there. Now, Al-Qaeda, that's an international organization. That's something different. But we chased them out of Afghanistan and into Iraq, which is falling apart again in large part because of our intervention there.
So what's your reaction to President Obama last night authorizing the use of force or limited military strikes in Iraq against ISIS?
Okay, we armed and trained ISIS. We armed and trained Osama bin Laden. This is just going to be another in a series of failed interventions. And let's take a look. Both John McCain and the president want to give aid to the rebels in Syria. Now, that doesn't make Assad a good guy, and believe me, Gaddafi was not a good guy either. But these rebel forces, they're burning churches, they're burning synagogues, and the people in them, they're torturing people. If anything, they're going to be worse than Assad. And ISIS appears to have come right out of Syria. And again, this is a product of our failed interventions. We got to mind our own business. you know, let's implement the policy of Thomas Jefferson, peace, commerce, honest friendship with all nations, and tangling alliances with none. All we're doing is creating enemies all across the world and bankrupting this country. The Middle East wars, according to a Harvard study recently, are going to cost us $4 to $6 trillion by the time we patch up those troops who were injured there and pay off some of our debt, which apparently is never going to happen.
It was reported in the La Crosse Tribune that a blogger posted a memo from your campaign that said you plan to attack your opponent in the primary, Tony Kurtz, as a warmonger. Why is Kurtz, an Army veteran, a warmonger?
Well, at a debate on April 7th, he said we need to be in Afghanistan to contain the Taliban. Contain means fight. Fight means war. And he also advocates this policy of having some 900 bases around the world in some 140 countries. We cannot afford that. It's bankrupting us just as surely as the welfare state is. And by having that posture, I do consider him a warmonger. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I want to thank Nick Nelson for putting that out there on the Morning Martini, because I think he did a lot to bolster my campaign.
Yeah, talk more about that. Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Because each and every talking point that I was suggesting to people who were, I thought, friendly to me, it stands on its own. I think Mr. Kurtz is ill-prepared to assume his office because he doesn't have the wide range of knowledge on a number of issues that I have, as witnessed by the fact that his handlers kept him out of Wisconsin Public Radio debate here, I think it was last week. If they'd have felt confident that he could have done well, I'm sure he would have been there.
You told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that you were brought up with democratic values. So what made you a Republican?
Like I said before, life's experiences, a little bit of reading, and some very patient friends. When I graduated college, I still thought that the government was the answer. When I went into business for myself, my political attitudes swiftly changed because I soon realized that the bureaucrats in Madison and Washington, D.C. really didn't care whether I succeeded or failed. And again, I started taking a look at one government policy after another, and I saw failure. The more we intervene, the higher the prices of things are. Right now, we have a situation where direct and indirect taxes, fees, licenses are about 40% of our economy, and then there's another 15% or so that is in the form of the costs of regulations. Now, do we need regulations? Well, sure. But I prefer that the government be an impartial referee on the sidelines rather than an active participant in the economy because, a lot of times their economic stimuli are more for political than for economic purposes. Solyndra is one example, and you might use Halliburton as a Republican example on the other side of the aisle.
Let's take a call from Jim in River Falls. Hello, Jim. What's your question?
Good morning. Thanks for having this program. Well, I had a question on the candidate's views on the Trans-Pacific Agreement. I've actually contacted Ron Kind about it. He is in support of it because he thinks it's going to help the economy, and basically it's a trade agreement between the U.S. and Pacific nations, which would be similar to NAFTA, open up trade, and
All right. So
it creates autonomous zones basically within the countries that subscribe to it, allowing those nations to set up their own laws, and they don't have to follow regulations of countries that they move into as far as wages and things like that as well. So just like to have the candidate's opinion of the Trans-Pacific Agreement if he's thought about it much.
Yes, I have. I issued a press release here, I believe it was back in January or February, when Vernon County passed a resolution opposing TPP. And I applauded them for that, not because I oppose free trade, but because I support free trade. The TPP, NAFTA, and a whole bunch of other things, they're bad because they give favored status to certain nations and to certain corporations, mostly large international ones. Plus, there's a whole bunch of direct and indirect subsidies that are part of the package. The export-import bank only benefits, Some people call it the Bank of Boeing, for example. And, of course, Boeing used some of their economic wherewithal to build plants in China. Plus, the big thing is these trade agreements tend to delegate authority that belongs with the Congress to the World Trade Organization. It's not free trade, and it's not going to be good for jobs. I think it was Ross Perot warned about NAFTA, the TPP is going to be, if anything, worse. The other thing is it's being negotiated in secret by the very corporations who stand to benefit. I don't see much benefit there. And as long as we're on that, there's a series of things. The wars, TPP, crony capitalism, corporate welfare, and I call it the bankster bailout, the TARP program, all of which I've opposed, all of which people in the middle and a few Democrats would agree with Ken Van Dorn on, and not with any other candidate, including Ron Kind.
One last question for you, a personal question. The bio on your website says you make the best home brew ever. What do you call it, and what's your secret?
Well, my staffer, usually when you think of brew, you think of beer. I've made very little beer, and my staffer maybe misunderstood when that was written, but I make quite a bit of wine.
Oh.
And, there's a saying out there, serve no time before it's wine or something like that. But, patience is the thing with wine, and, of course, cleanliness. Those are the two things. Make sure everything is absolutely clean, or you might make the best batch of vinegar you've ever had. And most of the wine I serve is not any less than a year old. So those are the secrets.
Cheers, and thanks for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Ken Van Dorn, retired building contractor, former Mauston City Council member, candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. We will hear from candidate Tony Kurtz coming up. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are holding our final candidate forum of the week before the April 12th primary, looking at the candidates and the issues in the 3rd Congressional District. We just heard from one of the three Republicans running in the primary. Now we will hear from another. Tony Kurtz is a retired U.S. Army member, small business owner, organic farmer in western Wisconsin, and a candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on, Joy. I appreciate it.
So tell us why you decided to run for Congress.
You know, back in January, I just kind of looked at the situation and got to the point where I got very frustrated, and I said, you know what, I'm going to try to make a difference. And so I entered the race at the end of January, and since that time, we've put on about 25,000 miles driving the district, talking to people, getting out, getting the word out, let people know me and find out about the campaign.
Yeah, what frustrated you so much?
Just the just how dysfunctional federal government is. I mean, I spent 20 years in the military, as you mentioned, and you know, contrary to popular belief, you know, people in the military think, well, you know, you get told everything you have to do. That's not necessarily true. I mean, when you're a younger soldier, that's true. But later on in your career, you've got to solve problems. And these problems are very complex, very complicated. You're dealing with multi-million dollar assets. And so at the end of the day, you've got to get a mission done. You've got to get accomplishment. You've got to make strides to get things done. And I just don't see the federal government doing that. There's a lot of things that need to be done. And I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. I don't say that, I say that very seriously. You know, we have serious problems that we've got to get done.
Well, you may or may not have heard one of your opponents, Ken Van Dorn, in our last segment talk about calling you a warmonger and planning to attack you in the campaign as being a warmonger. First off, your reaction to that.
Well, you know, I guess I'm not really sure where he's getting that. I know I did listen to the previous segment. He did say something about that I support the 900 bases overseas and all that stuff. First of all, I've never said that. I do believe in a strong military. I'm not going to back down from that. But I do believe in a responsible military and do it for the right reasons. And so, you know, Mr. Van Dorn, he feels he has to attack me, and that's his right, by all means, but the fact of the matter is that was never said.
Yeah. He says you support a continued military presence in Afghanistan?
What I support is a strong military. And, I served in Iraq twice. I was over in Iraq or Afghanistan briefly, just doing some training missions over there. And so, we need to look at all our foreign policy. I think some of the things you see now are lack of foreign policy we have at the federal level and overseas. I think some of that is because we do have a weak foreign policy. The president says so many different things, but yet he does not back them up. Several months ago, obviously, you remember the 5 known terrorists that were released. The president had an obligation to tell Congress, hey, 30 days prior, they needed to be notified. Congress was not notified of that terrorist exchange. And those are the things, like Congressman Kind, who's been our representative for more than 18 years, has said nothing about that. And that weakens the United States. 5 known terrorists were released. I'm glad we got the soldier back. Trust me, being a soldier, I'm happy about that, but not for what we traded. And there's nothing said about that. That affects national security. The world sees that. Putin sees that. And so these are the things that concern me as when we look on the foreign stage. But then, we get back domestically. We got to talk about the 3rd Congressional District and what's important for the 3rd Congressional District.
I do want to ask you, though, your reaction to President Obama authorizing military strikes in Iraq in response to ISIS.
Well, we have to permit the thing with Iraq now. Iraq is obviously in massive turmoil, but we have to make sure we protect our national interests, and that's our personnel on the ground. We have a lot of personnel still in Iraq, and the goal is not to let this spread to the other nations, and it's very possible this could spread. And so we have to watch the situation, and once again, protect our citizens, U.S. citizens still over there.
Mm-hmm. You're also a farmer. How would that experience apply to your work in Washington?
When I retired from the service in 2005, I bought 56 acres of land, and with the goal of transitioning that into organic. And I built that farm up, and now it's 210 acres. 100 of that is certified organic. The other 40 is still conventional. And that just is something I'm so proud of. My family, my daughter actually does a lot of the cultivating for me, and that's such an integral part of Western Wisconsin, such a proud heritage in agriculture, dairy. And I know the struggles of the farmers because, I did that. That's something I wanted to do ever since I was a little boy. And I'm doing that now. I'm building that up. It's successful. It wasn't easy. I learned a lot of lessons from it. And that's the thing. I make a mistake, and I'm willing to say, this is how we need to change it. And I do that on the farm, and it's, like I said, such a critical issue, critical component of the 3rd Congressional District is agriculture, and that's something that I'm so passionate about to promote that. Because we do, and you know that, Joy, how, I think I listened to one of your segments it's been a while ago. You guys were talking about ice cream around the area and all a bunch of other stuff.
Well, there's nothing more important than ice cream.
I'm a big ice cream fan. In fact, I was in Stevens Point last night, and I stopped over for a cone of little 4 scoops there on the square there in Stevens Point. So.
Well, we have also talked with Congressman Kind about farming issues in the farm bill. Talk some about why you think it's time to replace Ron Kind.
He's been in office for going on 18 years, and in that 18 years, 3 pieces of legislation that he has sponsored have actually passed. And so you look at 18 years in office, I just question who he's for anymore. You look at the money in politics, and that's something that just frustrates me to no end. 72% of his money right now comes from big political action committees, pharmaceutical companies, healthcare companies, brokerage firms, things like that. That to me right there is part of the problem. And, I mentioned this to people. Who's he really working for? He's not working for you and I. He's not working for the men and women in this district to make our district the best it can possibly be. And so, and it's Obamacare, too. Obamacare is not good for our district right now. Is it helping people? It's helping a small portion. But the vast majority of the men and women I talk to, it is not helping. I talked to a gentleman up in Stevens Point a few months ago. Well, it's been about 6 weeks ago. His name was Matt. Matt had a great health policy booked for Obamacare. He was paying $200 a month in his premiums. He had a $2,000 deductible. Him and his wife loved their policy. They liked it. It was affordable. Matt's 36 years old. His wife's 34. They got a small business. It's just him and her. Under Obamacare, his policy is $700 a month and a $6,000 deductible. You know, he looks me straight in the eye and he says, "Tony, I can't afford this." You know, I met a couple older women in the store in Eau Claire this past week, and you know, I was going through the aisles, and they were talking about Obamacare, and these two women are saying, "You know, I can't afford this. Even, you know, this is supposed to be affordable." And I normally honor people's conversations, but I was kind of eavesdropping a little bit, so I walked over and I talked to them, and then they just completely vented on me about this. They said, "You know, I'm retired, or you know, I'm."
Yeah. So, and I'm sorry because we have just less than a minute left, Tony Kurtz. I should ask you in less than a minute. What do you think the biggest problem is facing the nation, in particular the 3rd District, and why are you the best person to take care of it?
You know, it's Obamacare, it's the debt, and it's jobs. And I'll tell you why I'm probably the best person. It's just my life experience. You know, I've lived these things. You know, you look at the foreign policy. I've been over there. I've seen all these different things. You know, I have to work with people. I have to solve problems. And I just don't think our federal government does a very good job of that. And Congressman Kine, you know, career politicians, they've been in office going on 18 years. It's just the same people making the same problems. And to me, you have to make changes. If people aren't getting things done, you need to step up to somebody else. And I bring a lot to the table. I'm passionate about it.
Thank you.
I know we can do it.
Thank you, Tony Kurtz, for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
Tony Kurtz, retired U.S. Army member and candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. We heard from two of the three Republican candidates running for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District in our last half hour. We heard from Ken Van Doren, a retired contractor, former Mauston City Council member, and Tony Kurtz, a retired U.S. Army member, small business owner, and organic farmer in western Wisconsin. Now we will hear from the third candidate running in the August 12th primary, and we'll wrap things up with a political analyst at the end of this half hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We welcome your questions for our next candidate, Karen Mueller, at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Karen Mueller is a civil rights and employment law attorney in Chippewa Falls. She is also a candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. The winner of the primary, the August 12th primary, will advance to face the incumbent Democratic Congressman Ron Kind in November. Karen Mueller joins us by phone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Why did you decide to run for Congress?
I decided to run because I disagree with the way that the administration is taking the country. As you know, President Barack Obama promised to fundamentally transform our nation, and I think we are well along the way. And as a conservative, I'm concerned about that.
What's your biggest issue with Ron Kind's performance in office?
Well, I believe that Ron Kind has been a major proponent of Obamacare, and I believe that that is the wrong direction to take our country. I think that Obamacare will be moving towards a single-payer system, and I know that is something that Ron Kind has been in favor of. In fact, he authored the small business portion of the Affordable Health Care Act, which has been the starting date has been pushed back to January 2015. So that will be after the election before people begin to see the effects of that.
Yeah, what would you replace Obamacare with? Why would and why would it be better?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that our healthcare system was broken. I think that we have a world-class healthcare system. I believe that our costs and our healthcare insurance premiums have gone up over the past years, and I think largely that that was due to less and less market influences, which we can certainly restore. First of all, we need to repeal Obamacare. And once we have been able to do that, I think that there are different things that we can put into place. We could have dealt with the pre-existing conditions reforms that were needed. We could have done that piecemeal without adding over 100 bureaucracies to our government, which, of course, has added more costs and will into the future. Secondly, we could add, I would say, having mandatory deductibles, mandatory copays. As I know that you have to be personally aware of, we all are, is that when something is free, we tend to use it more. When you have a personal vested interest in even paying a portion of that, you tend to use it more wisely, and you use it maybe a little less frequently. And I think by doing that, there is the personal responsibility component that alone will begin to bring costs down as there is more competition there.
What about the tens of millions of uninsured who go to emergency rooms without insurance and have their care taken care of, which hikes the cost for everybody else? How do you insure the uninsured?
Well, in the past, in Wisconsin, you know, we've had Badger Care, which has gone a long way towards taking care of the people that have not had the insurance that we need. Obviously, we need to increase those pools. What I am saying is that we could have done it state by state in a way that would have been a lot more efficient and a lot less costly than we are now looking at. Because we have now a federal bureaucracy that is in place that is going to continue to drain resources that could have been provided in a much more efficient way.
Since you are an attorney, you have a legal background, would you vote to impeach President Obama? Do you think President Obama has done something impeachable?
I do believe that. I think he has signed executive orders that are beyond his power to do so. The Constitution provides that legislation is allowed only for the Congress. That is where that power resides. I believe some of the executive orders that President Obama has signed has certainly surpassed the powers that he has been given under our Constitution.
And how would you deal with the immigration issue?
We have a severe problem at our southern border. We have perhaps over 100,000 people that have illegally entered this country. I believe that we need to close our borders, and we are either going to have to do it with troops that are sent in there so that we can get control. About a month ago, Marine Corps General Kelly said that we basically have an existential threat. At this point, we have a national defense crisis on our southern border, and that's because we are having MS-13 gang members come in. We are having possibly terrorists come in, and while we are doing that, we have a humanitarian crisis with the children coming in that our Border Patrol are being overwhelmed by. This election, I believe, is going to be a referendum on our country. What kind of government do we want? Number one, I think people need to ask themselves, do we want our Constitution as it is to continue to be our foundational document? And I say that because going back to the executive orders, if the president is going to be mandating, making law, then that changes our Constitution. Number two, are we going to continue to be a sovereign nation? Because as a sovereign nation, you can control who comes into your country, and you can also, citizens tend to have special rights and privileges once they have attained citizenship, or they are just naturally born into that nation. And so this is, I believe, what voters are really going to have to consider, at least they should consider before they go into the voting booth coming up on November 4th.
Do you approve or disapprove of President Obama authorizing the use of force, limited military strikes in Iraq?
I approve. I have been calling for that. We have to do something when, number one, our national interest is at stake, or we have interest, and in this case, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of people still over there. Second, who are now at risk because of ISIS. We also have the Kurds to the north who are now being threatened, and the Kurds have been our friends. They were our friends in the Iraq War. And the violence and the terrorism over there, I think, is unprecedented, appalling. People are being beheaded left and right. Heads are piling up in the streets. Christians are being persecuted. Muslims themselves, if they are also being threatened. Plenty of Muslim people in the country themselves are being persecuted because of this extremist group. I think as a nation, we can't sit by after we have spent the blood and treasure that we have to first secure that country. And now it's a catastrophic meltdown over there. So, yes, I applaud the president for making this decision. I think it should have been made sooner.
Do you want to weigh in on the flap between your two other opponents where Ken Van Doren called Tony Kurtz a warmonger for... I guess his support of a military presence in Afghanistan.
I don't want to weigh in directly on any fight between them, but I would say that as the mother of a 16-year active duty Marine who happens to be female, I don't see any reason to call names. So I guess that is getting involved. I don't think that's appropriate. People on whether you're Democrat or whether you're Republican have honorably served our country. Serving our country does not make you a warmonger.
I was just going to go to a caller who dropped off at this very second who just wanted to know how you think you're being treated by the media.
I guess I really don't have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I put one foot in front of the other during this election and have tried to speak out honestly on what I believe, and people can vote for me or not vote for me.
Why should voters choose you in the Republican primary on the 12th?
Well, again, going back to what I said earlier, I think that we basically have a referendum on our nation coming up. And the question is, do we want our Constitution to continue as our founding document? And do we want to be a sovereign nation? I think if we do, we have to have a change in Washington, in Congress. And I think that will involve having people that believe in those documents, believe that we need to be a sovereign nation. And for that reason, are willing to elect people that will move in the country in that direction. And I am one of those people. I think I'm uniquely qualified as an attorney. My undergraduate degree was in finance. I do have a background in medicine, a couple of years of training in that area. I didn't get a degree. But I think that's made me uniquely qualified to handle a number of the challenges that we are going to face in addition to my practice. And I think I have a wide variety of experiences that could inform me in a positive way. I have the ability to read the laws, of course, and to understand the laws, to understand the constitutional implications of those laws, whether they're laws on the book or whether they're laws that I would draft. I would always look to the constitutionality first and foremost.
We are asking candidates at the end of their interviews a personal question, and I guess I'd like to know, what do you like to do for fun when you're not practicing law or running for Congress?
Well, what I like to do, I don't know if it would be considered fun for people, but I love gardening, and I have a large number of a variety of flowers that I like to tend to. Which I have not been able to, so I have a number of weeds that are taking over my garden right now. But I really enjoy that. I like being on a lake. I like boating very much.
And I think gardening is, it's a lot of work, but it is fun too. It's beautiful. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Karen Mueller, civil rights and employment law attorney in Chippewa Falls, a candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, wrapping up our week-long series of candidate forums prior to next week's August primary. We just heard from the 3 Republicans who are competing in Tuesday's primary election for the chance to take on Democratic Congressman Ron Kind in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Now we will welcome in a guest political scientist to analyze the race in the 3rd District and talk about some of the issues going on in the campaign there. And welcome your questions and your reactions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome in Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. Good morning. Thanks for being with us. Well, I guess let me just, what stands out to you about these 3 candidates in the Republican primary in the 3rd District?
Well, in many respects, I think they're typical conservatives. They have conservative views. They're critical of Congressman Kind, of course, as she should be as a challenger. All of them seem to disagree about Obamacare and the role of the federal government particularly. I thought what differentiated them this morning was the particularly the warmonger comment. Mm-hmm. Van Doren is a former libertarian, maybe a continued libertarian. And he promotes freedom, pushes the ideas about that. He's from the very edge of the district, the eastern edge of the district. Tony Kurtz obviously favors a strong military. His issues are a little more defined than the other two. Debt issues, for example, is a big thing with him. He is by far the most active in terms of fundraising, probably has more endorsements than everybody else, and he's from the central part of the district, the La Crosse area. Karen Mueller is from the north, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls area, and relatively speaking, probably the least active of the 3 candidates. So that's kind of a nutshell of what's going on in that district.
So based on fundraising and endorsements, it looks like Tony Kurtz has the edge at this point?
I would think that most Republicans, at least the ones I talk to, think he's the person to beat at this point.
Yeah. Well, give us a sense of the political makeup of the district. Is this solidly Democratic or slightly or a toss-up? What is it?
It's an interesting district. It used to be, prior to redistricting, kind of a crescent along the Mississippi River, the western Wisconsin area. Now it actually looks more like a Y. It's got the western Wisconsin area, but the one point of the Y actually goes over to the Stevens Point area. It leans Democratic, and if you look at the map of presidential elections, congressional elections, maybe even state legislative elections, it tends to look more Democratic than Republican. However, at least polls that we've done around here indicate that if you ask people whether they're liberal or conservative, by about a 2-to-1 margin, they'll say conservative. So it's an area that actually can go either direction, and it's relatively close. For example, the governor carried Wisconsin. Barrett and I'll just put it this way, Barrett and Walker were virtually tied in La Crosse County over the last two elections. That gives you an indication that either candidate, either Democrats or Republicans, could win here. Of course, being an incumbent for Congressman Kind, that's a real advantage.
Yeah, besides being an incumbent, does it seem that people are, I don't know, pretty happy with Congressman Kind's performance or not?
Yeah, I think they generally are. He's pretty well liked. People know him. This is a big district, Joy, and name identification is difficult to get it out there, and obviously he has it right now. He's also considered more of a moderate Democrat. If you look at the voting records over the years, occasionally you will see that he votes against his own party or votes with the Republican group in Wisconsin. So he's got the reputation of being more moderate, a little more independent, perhaps than maybe a typical Democrat in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Does though the I don't know, the midterm election and President Obama's performance ratings being down, does that threaten Ron Kind?
It could. You know, when they always say, when your time is up, your time is up. And I don't know whether this is the case. This does not look like it's going to be a wave election such as 2010. That was his closest election. Dan Kapanke Senator Dan Kapanke, who I know you have on periodically, came very close to defeating him, and I think most people think that was the best shot that Republicans had against him. The district's now a little more Democratic, and unless it's a wave election, Ron Kind has to be considered the favorite. Plus, he frankly has, I think, a little more than $1 million in the bank right now for reelection purposes. Tony Kurtz, the biggest campaign amount that he has right now, I believe, by far the way, he's the biggest fundraiser in the Republican side, has about $100,000 basically. So he's done quite well, but frankly, he's doing an uphill battle against Congressman Kind.
Yeah. So what are the issues that might drive voters' decisions in November, in the third in particular?
Well, I think they're pretty typical issues, jobs, basically. Western Wisconsin tends to lag the state in terms of per capita income. So farm issues are always big in Western Wisconsin. Jobs in general, I think, are still the biggest, per capita income in general. Obamacare is sort of an issue. It's not probably number one or two in most people's minds, however. But I think increasingly, I think, you'll notice that Wisconsin elections have sort of paralleled what's going on federally. We like to think of ourselves as being a little more independent and kind of go our own way. But the national polls, Obama is a little bit better thought of in Wisconsin. The Marquette poll, for example, had him, I think, a little more favorable and unfavorable, whereas at the national level, it's a little worse. But I think people, at least in Western Wisconsin, are a little less likely to be influenced by Obama than they are local issues or state issues or just general economic issues.
You know, we only have a short time left. We'll wrap up our fall or our August primary candidate forums asking you whether there are any other contests around the state or elsewhere that you're particularly
intrigued
by. Well,
there's two races in Western Wisconsin that are being watched. One of them is much more visible. I think it's a Dale Scholl seat.
Yes.
The 17th State Senate District, Ernie Whitwer and Pat Bomek. That one is being watched very carefully because of who wins the primary. And then Howard Markline, the Republican, is running a substantial amounts of money, basically. That is a district which I think Democrats think is the number one potential target for pickup. Second one is Kathleen Beinelt's district, the 31st. That's for the Eau Claire area. She has two Republicans that collectively have raised more money than she has.
Hmm.
And that's an indication, I think, that although that one's a sleeper in some respects, that's going to be an interesting race.
Well, we ask our candidates a quirky personal question at the end of each interview. We're asking you, where would you rather be today, La Crosse or Key West?
La Crosse. The weather here is much more better. It's a terrific area for this. We've had an unusually great summer.
You just got back from a very hot Key West.
You're right.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing our candidate forum series, to Justin Williams for on-air production, and to Christy Taylor for on-air direction. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.